As newborn babes, desire the rational milk without guile. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In order that man see and understand supernatural things, he needs to have an analogy. That is because by means of natural things, we can rise to the supernatural, the spiritual. For example, when we see beauty on earth, we can imagine in a limited way the beauty of Almighty God. And this is exactly why our blessed Lord spoke so often, perhaps more often than not, in parables. Because by explaining the natural, he got the people to understand the spiritual. We think of the prodigal son and other such parables. But today's liturgy presents a supernatural truth to us under the form of a natural one. The introit in today's Mass says, as newborn babes desire the rational milk without guile. I've been telling those of you that have been coming to the weekday Masses this past week, I've been telling you the practice of the ancient church, even the practice now, that on Holy Saturday, the church baptizes many converts. And throughout the liturgy, these converts are urged to become as little children. And she tells them to live like newborn babes. But not only does the liturgy urge them to be as children, but the Gospels command it. Unless you become as little children, these are the words of our blessed Lord, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Or secondly, he says, he is greatest in the kingdom of heaven who will abase himself like this little child. So you see in this that we are to become like little children. Not in any physical or emotional sense, to be sure, but in a spiritual one. Pope Pius XI, he is one who canonized many of our great saints that we have today. He canonized, among many others, the little flower. And of her, he says that she has shown herself to us as a master of the science of the spiritual childhood. And this saint shows us how to become as little children. Her whole life, her entire spirituality was based on this theme of becoming a child. And it's all based upon the gospel. Unless you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so by becoming little on earth, she became great in heaven. Now many of you, I know there are many Catholics, but particularly I would say among the men, might be inclined to sort of bypass and overlook this saint as being a bit too sentimental and sugary, perhaps. And maybe this is because of what Vatican II has done to destroy her devotion. Oh, sure, they push her out there and they encourage devotion to the little flower, but they've destroyed the essence of it. The essence is the love of God, but they turn what is supposed to be a manly love, a sacrificial love, one that pushes one on to a little sentimental, sugary, and sappy sort of love, where you go along to get along, and that's just about it. Everyone's fine. No need to convert Muslims. Oh, they're going to heaven anyway. JP2, I think, said that. And so many other things. They've taken her spirituality, they've brought it to a natural level, and have destroyed it. And perhaps that's why so many Catholics, especially men, are not drawn to her. But in reality, she is one of the most courageous saints that you will ever see. To prove it, I'm not going to prove it to you, perhaps, but prove it to yourselves. I challenge anyone here that might think St. Therese a little bit sappy. I challenge you to put into practice the doctrine of the spiritual childhood for 1 year and see just how easy it is. But for Pius X, one of the manliest of man saints said that she is the greatest saint of modern times. And that is something to be said for that. Now, what is this spiritual childhood that today's introit reminds us of? What are its characteristics? And how can we put it into daily life? What we do from day to day? Well, the first characteristic is this. And again, we see the analogy. You have to think of what a child is in the natural realm, then bring it up to the spiritual. The first characteristic of a child is the love that he has for his parents. All humans need love. We need to love, we need to be loved. Otherwise, what happens is we sort of shrivel up. We go inside of ourselves and go into depression, or worse, suicide, and other such horrible things. We are meant to love. That is why God gave us a heart and a will. But babies, infants, toddlers in particular, need to love. You see, a child does not ever look at the faults of his parents. He simply loves. Whatever his parent is, a monster or a very loving mother, the child loves the parent. And so it is that the Christian, the Catholic, ought to look at God and ought to love him. Certainly God has no faults, no sins, but oftentimes we'll attribute faults to him. Oh God, why are you doing this to me? Why so much suffering in the world? Why so much misery? And we look at him, and we look at those as faults of God, perhaps. But no matter what he sends you, we should be like the baby, the child, who loves his parents despite their faults. Even if they were to punish him, they still love. And so it is for us. No matter what our Heavenly Father sends us, be it consolation or bitterness, sickness or good health, love God. Do not seek, as so many saints tell us, do not seek the consolations of God, but seek the God of consolation, and you'll go far in your spiritual life. What was this love or charity that St. Therese had towards her Heavenly Father? It was this, that she once heard that there are so many souls that offered themselves as victims to God's justice. And she noticed how they suffered, what cruel things they had to suffer in offering themselves as victims of justice. And she thought to herself, well, if there are so many victims to his justice, why shouldn't there be a victim to his love? And she offered herself as a victim to the love of God. And her love, though, her charity was not inactive or sentimental. It was rather sacrificial. It pushed her on. Caritas Christi urget nos. That's one of my favorite sayings from the epistles of St. Paul. The charity of Christ urges us. It pushes us on to do great things. You all know that when you love someone, you'll do anything for that person. You'll go out of your way. You'll do things that you never thought you could do, never thought possible, and you'll find that you can do it. The same is true in the spiritual order. Love God, and that charity keeps urging you and pushing you forward and driving you on until at last you've done almost the seeming impossible, as so many of the saints have done. If we love God, all things are possible. The second quality or characteristic of the spiritual childhood is confidence. Confidence in Almighty God. Again, St. Teresa uses the analogy of how when a child is afraid, What does he do? He cries for mother. And when mother picks him up and carries him and holds him tight, the child feels safe. No matter how dangerous the situation is, he feels safe, as if there's nothing that could happen as long as my parents have hold of me. And so it is in the spiritual order that we must abandon ourselves into the arms of God and submit ourselves to his ways, whether through storms and trials of life or natural disasters or spiritual failures. And oh, how many times we fail. We fail and we fail. We sin and we sin. The same old things, day in and day out. Always the same confessions and everything else. Confidence. Whether it be sadness or temptations of all kinds, the prayer that should always be on our lips should be a prayer of confidence. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in thee. We place ourselves into the hands of God and let God do his work. If you trust in him that he knows what he's doing when he sends you some suffering, he will form your soul into something more beautiful than it ever was before. He will turn you into the saint that he wishes you to be. Now, the third of the characteristics and final characteristic of the spiritual childhood is humility. Saint Therese said, to be little or humble means not to attribute to oneself any virtue, judging oneself to be capable of anything. Rather, we should realize that God puts this treasure into the hands of his daughter, that she may use it when she wills, but it is always God's treasure. So the first part is, never attribute anything good to yourself. If you have anything good, or have ever done anything good, it is by the grace of God alone. And then, secondly, she says, it also consists, humility does, in not being discouraged when we fall. And then she uses the analogy, a child who is small, tiny, a child who falls doesn't do much harm to himself because he's little and already close to the ground. And so also a humble soul who humbles himself to the ground when he falls into sin, he doesn't stay down, but rather gets up. But a prideful soul stays down. We get too often, more often than not, discouraged at our faults and our sins and our bad habits and our vices. But Saint Therese never did. Well, she learned not to after a while. When she was just a child, she actually said that sometimes she would cry over having committed a fault, and then she would cry over having cried. And you see a sort of pride in that, that she just couldn't overcome the pride until later on. Then Saint Therese would not do that. She would not become discouraged. The more she saw her weakness, the more she trusted that God would help. And this, truly, this thought alone is the secret to peace of heart, to see our weakness and yet to be able to trust in God. If we're weak, and God commands us to be perfect, even as his heavenly Father is perfect, and we can do nothing without him, if we acknowledge our weakness, then God is obliged to come and pick us up. It's only when we start thinking that we need to do everything ourselves, then it becomes hard. You lose peace of heart. You get all worried and anxious and all of the rest of it. Because you want to be a grown-up, as St. Teresa puts it, when God wants you just to be a little child. Once you grow up, you've got to move out of the house. You've got to find a job. You've got to do everything on your own. But as long as you're a child, your parent will take care of you. So also, in the spiritual order, as long as you remain little and humble, God will be there to help you. So, to conclude, the Easter season, it urges us, as it did in today's introit, to be born again, spiritually speaking. It's a fresh start. Along with the season of spring and of Easter, we get a fresh start in the spiritual life. So take the little flower today and her little way of spiritual childhood and imitate it. Put it into practice, these three virtues of the love of God, which leads to action, confidence in Almighty God and His plan, and humility regarding our weakness, but trusting in God's power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.